Cella luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mi mare dare. Figli mia, cutterare, mamma mia, pensaccio tu. Sette rogna, piscia, ulo, idde viene sempre a baccalare dal manedene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalata, picchia me. Oh mamma, la 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 la.
And the baccalaw's gonna be flying tonight at the Presidential Reality Show live. What a joke. These are not debates, it's a show. It's a freak show as I see it. And again, you know, I'm a political atheist. I'm not supporting either one of them, but I have to tell you, just on a content analysis basis, in other words, weighing the quantity of the data, unquestionably, the slant in the mainstream media is pro-Clinton. One piece after another, day after day, on the Cartoon News Network, that people like to call CNN, there's one story after another that's negative about Trump and just a blackout on Clinton. And there's very, very little coverage of the WikiLeaks. And as you well know, listeners to Progressive Radio Network that are listening to and finding out information that the mainstream does not provide, what do? They shut down Assange's access to put out more WikiLeaks. You think the United States pressured them at all? You know, I used to be on Fox and ABC and CBS, and when these ABC, I've been on everybody. And when WikiLeaks first came out and they were asking me about it, you know, I said, you know, why not? You know, if there's information that they're holding back from us, and now all they used to hear, this is all they used to hear. Well, it's empowering terrorists to get our intelligence, and they're going to use it against us. Well, they said they're not going to release things that are dangerous to the United States. Well, it's showing that they could cyber attack, and it's just stupid crap intelligence. If there's an intelligence agency in this country, they fail to show it. Look at all the losing ventures they've been in. Hey, did a great job in Iraq with that intelligence. Well, let's go back to the Vietnam War. I forgot about Grenada. Hey, about Nicaragua, intelligence agency. Murderous agencies. There's no intelligence. And again, when you watch the debate tonight, you'll see the proof. Eisenhower said some words to the effect that anyone seeking the office is either crazy or insane. And again, he was drafted in, you know, he was president of Colombia. And these people that are just so power hungry. But going back to the WikiLeaks, there's nothing virtually in the media. It's a blackout on all the dirty deals going down with the Clinton administration. And all you Bernie supporters, hey, anybody listening out there? Hey, Bernie gave it to you. Oh, good old BS Bernie. The facts out on how they shafted him. The facts out on how Hillary Clinton is just nothing more than another disgusting shill for the white shoe boys on Wall Street. When you read what she said at her speeches to the Goldman Sachs gang. And there's Bernie. Yep. Going around the country campaigning for Hillary. Isn't it wonderful, huh? Isn't it wonderful? Yep, here we go. In secret Goldman Sachs speeches, Clinton explains why the rich should rule. That's right, all us little slaves in Slavelandia. That's all we are. It's a neo-feudal system. Wow. Thought they cut me off here for a minute.
Well, my microphone became undone.
Anyway, here's what she says. He said, in one question, this isn't ancient history. This is October 2013. Clinton, she's with the CEO, Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs, who said he's doing God's work. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine this disgusting human being of another crooked schemer? The central bankers saying they're doing God's work? Hey, maybe you got the wrong God, huh? Not the Jesus Christ guy. No, no. He was chasing you guys out of the temple, Lloyd. So anyway, she's with Blankfein, and the audience member asked Clinton the following question. And Mike Bloomberg had $30 billion... And Mike Bloomberg had 30 billion other reasons, meaning dollars, than to take office. Do we need a wholesale change in Washington that has more to do with people that don't need the job, that have the job? This is what Clinton said. That's really an interesting question, you know? I would like to see more successful business people running for office. I would really like to see that because I don't think, you know, you don't have $30 billion, but you have a certain level of freedom. And there's a memorable phrase from a former member of the Senate. You can be rented, but never bought. And I think that's important to have people with those experiences. In other words, the rich should rule. Look, you don't have to be rich not to be bought out. You can be bought out at any level. And we don't need business people. How about philosophers? How about humanists? How about people that care? No, only running a business. And by the way, the business of America isn't business. The business is Chinese. The business of America is war. And Hillary has more blood on her hands. Hey, maybe she could match Genghis Khan. Yeah, Gaddafi has to go. Assad has to go. Hussein has to go. All the blood on the Clinton family hands from the Iraq wars to Yugoslavia. The rich should rule. Experience in business. But they're always talking about this. And then she goes on to say what a backstabbing liar she is. When one of her speeches, she admitted that she has a public position and a private position. In other words, to sell us her BS, her baloney, her crap, like the rest of the disgusting politicians do, like the guy Obama, the liar-in-chief, who lied his way into office as an anti-war president and is lying his way out as we're invading with boots on the ground saying there's no boots on the ground in Iraq. The private position is the real position. The public position is to sucker in all us people to believe what they're saying. And she said the private position is expressed in backroom discussions, while the public position, I guess that consists of the lies that she tells the rest of us. Yep. But the media is barely covering this. This is the Goldman Sachs gang. This is from the World Socialist Organization. 40% of the 639-page report called Wall Street and the Financial Crisis, Anatomy of Financial Collapse, was devoted to the fraudulent and deceptive practices of Goldman Sachs. The report presented documents, emails, internal communications, and other evidence showing that the largest U.S. investment bank had sold billions of dollars of subprime mortgage-backed securities to investors, vouching for their value, even as it was betting that the investments would fail. Goldman made billions, and CEO Blankfein and other top executives pocketed millions in bonuses. Yep. And nobody goes to jail. Hillary and Bill Clinton have accumulated a total of $153 million in speaking fees since Slick Willie left the White House. It's called payback. Because you could hear him BS for free all day long. So tonight, of course, we hear more lies and deceptions. And again, B.S. Bernie Sanders, he kept calling on Clinton, released those transcripts of her Wall Street speeches, and she refused to do it. And now those transcripts are out there. They're barely being covered by the media. And that little low-life Bernie boy, his silence on this whole issue underscores what a sellout slimer he is, too. Nothing more than another fraud. They're called Democrats and Republicans. Bloods and the Crips, murderers and thieves. Don't forget to vote. Yep. Yep, and then you saw the other things coming out, too, about the sellout with the Department of Justice, contacting the FBI, or the Clinton administration, excuse me, contact the FBI, when she was Secretary of State, and asking for a quid pro quo on the classified documents. But none of this is coming out. More, it's Obama, what's his name? Trump groped another woman. Look, you know, I don't want to hear this anymore. How about some issues being discussed? How about some policies rather than personalities? World doubts the leadership of Uncle Sam. That's right. That's People's Daily. That's the Chinese Communist news organ. He did a big story. Commentary entitled, "The City Upon a Hill Is Not There Anymore." And they gave an in-depth analysis of the changes. The arrogant Americans calling themselves God's chosen people to lead the world. And it goes on and on and on. America's declining in front of our eyes. And all you have to do is look at the presidential race. Never before have we had two people running for office with such high negativity ratings and high dishonesty ratings. Look in the mirror, America. He's called President Obama. And he's there for you to look at. A lying, arrogant man. First day in office, I'm going to close Guantanamo. Yeah. Going to revisit NAFTA as he's pumping down the Trans-Pacific Partnership down our throats. Disgusting. Disgusting. Anyway, on to some other news. You know, as subscribers to the Trends Journal, you know, we put out trend alerts each week. Trends Monthly, Trends in the News, weekday broadcasts every Monday through Friday. And of course, the Trends Journal. Guaranteed money back. The only place where you're going to read history before it happens. And history is happening quickly in front of us. So, you know, there's a recession going on. No doubt a doubt it. Yep. It's a restaurant recession. It's there for everybody to see. Across America, fast food to casual dining, name the place, from Starbucks to Ruby Tuesdays, from established restaurant chains to the new upstarts. Across the country, bankruptcies are rising, locations are closing, profit margins are shrinking. We've been talking about this for quite some time now, Trends Journal, Trends in the News, and other information that we're putting out. And just this week, the Wall Street Journal kind of followed up on it. And they wrote, in just one recent week alone, three restaurant companies filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. At least five other restaurant operators had filed for court protection this year. And some chains have been closing locations and shaking up management. So there's a number of reasons that they're blaming on this. Of course, one of them is an oversupply of restaurants that are responsible for the downtrend. Kind of same thing in the retail sector. Too many stores and not enough people. Competition's eating each other. Or, as we look at this, is this a harbinger of worse economic dangers ahead? So what we do is trend researchers, we stick with the facts. It's not what you like, what you wish for, or what you hope. Like hope and change you could believe in. Hope and change. Remember that one, folks? Yeah. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yeah, yes, we can. Screw you even more if you believe my crap. To me, you know, Bush, a murderous traitor that should be brought up on the war crime tribunals for taking us to war, robbing us of our rights, and Obama, a traitor to the nation for lying us into office. Anyway, so looking at the facts and not what you wish for, and as political atheists, we look at some of the facts that others in the industry are saying as to why sales are so soft throughout the restaurant sector. Now, I'm prefacing this by saying also, when you read the so-called job reports put out by the USSA, the banana republic of the Los Estados Unidos, the lies that they keep telling us, that there's strong growth in the restaurant sector, particularly with waiters, waitresses, bartenders, and the whole hospitality sector. But yet they're showing softness. Restaurant companies are filing for Chapter 11, bankruptcy protection, closing locations. Like Ruby Tuesday just closed over here in Kingston, New York. Closing locations across the country, one after another. So how are they creating jobs in a sector that's shrinking? I'll tell you how. Because they lie, that's how. Just like they lie us into war. Anyway, so, to move ahead, the reason for the slowdown, now this is coming from Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. He's a big company. He blamed the declines in customer traffic and the general industry slowdown on more than, quote, just an economic downturn. Schultz claimed that the, quote, profound weakening in consumer confidence and the very uncertain election has created a level of anxiety. Huh. Consumer confidence. That's right. You have to have confidence whether or not to spend money. How about you don't, if you'll spend money if you have a dollar in your pocket, you know? If you don't, you're not going to spend it. But no, we'll make up something called consumer confidence for low sales and the election.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to go out and buy a cup of coffee because I don't know if Hillary or Hitler will get elected.
And he's also blaming, you know, the riots that happened this past summer, civil unrest in regard to race, and terrorism. Oh, yeah, there's terrorism out there. I'm not going outside. Also blaming the race for the White House as a reason people were buying less of their burgers and fries. We heard from Wendy's CEO, Todd Penegor, who recently said, quote, when a consumer is a little uncertain about their future and really trying to figure out what this election cycle really means to them, they're not as apt to spend as freely as they might have given just a couple of quarters ago. That's right. Schultz says it's consumer confidence and the election. And Wendy's CEO's CEO, Penegor, doubles up on it. Yep. We're not spending money because we're uncertain about the future. Okay, I gotcha. And we're worried about who may get into the White House. You never know. I mean, somebody gets in the White House, they could start a war against Libya while pretending to be an anti-war candidate. Or better yet, they could start Assad has to go. Yeah. Responsible for the slaughter of over 400,000 innocent people. Hey. Or they could arm their friends, the Saudis, selling them more weapons to destroy innocent people in Yemen. Yep, they could do that. So people are really afraid of that, so they're not buying burgers and not drinking coffee or eating them fries. And what else we have here? Well, we also heard from Greg Creed. He's the CEO of Yum Brands. And he said during a company call just recently, third quarter earnings call, that, quote, it goes without saying. That's right. This is how the arrogant people talk to you. It goes without saying. So you listen to me. It goes without saying that people are trying to decide who to choose, you know, for the election and what impact it will be on the economy. Yeah, goes without saying, folks. And I think people are just hunkering down a little bit. Okay, hey, you're the CEO of Yum Brands. You know best. And then echoing the refrain, yeah. Ronald McDonald, CEO, yeah. Stephen Estabrook said, quote, whether through elections or through global events, people are slightly mindful of an unsettled world. When families are uncertain, caution starts to prevail. And they start to hold back. That's it. These are CEOs of major companies blaming the elections and economic uncertainty as to why sales are going down and a restaurant recession is setting in. Now, they're also attributing the decline for these meal kit delivery services. Imagine that you need a meal kit delivery. You're too stupid to go out and buy food and cook it yourself. No, I need a meal kit. And they're blaming low food prices at grocery stores. So more people are cooking at home. Wait a minute. if you have low prices at grocery stores, that means food's costing you less too, so you should be having higher profit margin. Nah, but we'll ignore that. Yeah, so the only reason people are cooking at home is because it was always low prices at grocery stores compared to going out and eating. Dime to a dollar compared to it. But we'll make up any excuse we want because we won't face the facts. And what else is keeping people at home? Well, accelerated buying of prepared meals that they could get at supermarkets and convenience stores. So they're blaming that for eating up their profits. As trend forecasters, we go back to 1992. Yep, the race for the White House. Slick Willie Clinton, Ross Perot, George Bush Sr., Herbert Walker. And the Clinton campaign, in their campaign offices, they had this slogan. It's the economy, stupid. So every time they'd go off course, they'd go back onto the economy. Go back 1992. You had the crash of 1987. There's no real recovery. They started lowering interest rates to kind of boost things up. It was too late, and Clinton won. And also, Ross Perot got about 20% of the vote. And that would have gone to Clinton. To Bush, excuse me. So that's why he won. So they focused on the economy. The same thing with the restaurant recession. It's the economy, stupid, not the presidential elections or consumer uncertainty that's keeping people from eating out. There's a research group, very well respected in the field, of analyzing restaurant trends, the NPD group. And they're saying that 18 to 35-year-olds, the millennials, that group, once the largest group of restaurant customers, guess what? They're cutting way back. Gee, I wonder why. Huh. Now remember, this is according to the NPD group. The millennial generation, that core, regardless of, it's called the millennial generation now, but 18 to 35-year-olds. The largest group are cutting back. So let's look at the 18 to 35-year-olds today. Well, if you went to college, excuse me, you're sitting on about $1.3 trillion worth of college debt. And you're working in the wonderful gig economy. That's right. 2 and 3 jobs that don't pay a living wage. And if you're one of those 18 to 35-year-olds, home ownership among you, it's at its lowest rate in modern history in that group. You know why? They're staying at home with mama and daddy because they can't afford to live out on their own. Now you put that data along with other data and you have 51% of Americans that are working earning less than $30,000 per year. 35% of we, the little people in Slavelandia, have debt that's at least 180 days past due. And 70% of us have less than $1,000 in savings. So eating out is not an option. It's becoming a luxury. So this is more than a restaurant recession. As we look at it, it's a precursor to the Great Recession. And again, the only thing that's boosted the markets, the equity markets, are record low interest rates. That have allowed the big companies to buy back their stocks because they're borrowing money for nothing. And all that merger and acquisition activity. And boy, when you talk about merger and acquisition activity, whew, the Chinese are buying up the world. Yep. From Hollywood to robotics, you name it, agriculture, to hotels. They're scooping it up. The business of China is business. The business of Los Estados Unidos, the Banana Republic, is war.
Yep.
All you have to do is look at that Nobel Peace of Crap Prize. That's what they should call it, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize. And you look at Obama's presidency, the winner of it. It's been defined by war. Yeah. This is from antiwar.com. In his 2008 campaign, Barack Obama was, if not particularly ideologically committed, quickly branded as the comparatively anti-war candidate. It wasn't a hard case to make, with Senator John McCain running an intensely pro-war campaign. But Obama's dubious anti-war bona fides were quickly embraced internationally. He was heralded as a peacemaker of historic proportions, and in 2009 awarded the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize, just 9 months into his first term in office. He hadn't really done anything yet, and the prize was seen as an advance award for the things he was expected to do. Coming into his last few months in office, these expectations seem, in retrospect, incredibly wishful thinking, as Obama's peacemaking efforts have been few and far between and far overshadowed by the nonstop wars he has championed throughout his presidency. Obama's lack of ideological aversion to war, punctuated in a Nobel Peace Prize speech that was all about the necessity of American interventionism abroad, presaged a foreign policy track which began with heavily escalated tensions of the Afghan War and has since seen the U.S. dragged headlong into multiple wars which, like Afghanistan, have no end in sight. From imposing regime change in Libya to launching wars in Iraq and Syria, Obama has driven America into some major messy new conflicts, and with ongoing escalation in Eastern Europe and South China Sea, seems to be laying the groundwork for more bigger wars in the decades to come. Those who chose to give Obama the Nobel back in 2009 based more or less entirely on what they hoped he'd do, doubtless ended up with buyer's remorse, and it's virtually unthinkable that he'd have ended up with such an award based on his actual accomplishments. Based more or less entirely on what they hoped. Yeah, as in hope and change you could believe in. Again, hope is among the most negative words in the metaphysical dictionary. And what they left out in that story, of course, And they do a great job. I go to their website every day and try to support them as much as I can. Antiwar.com is the United States intervention, of course, in Somalia. And it's AFRICOM group in Mali, in Niger, across Africa. More and more war drums beating. Yep. Hardly makes the news. Right now, the United States troops are on the front lines in the advance in Iraq's Mosul. And boy, does the media love to play it up in a positive way. Yeah. Gonna free them people over there from those ISISs. Yeah, didn't Obama say ISIS was the junior varsity? I tell you, ISIS, it's an anti-Italian expression. How are we going to sell Italian ISIS? I'm only kidding, I'm only kidding. So here the United States, after Obama continually promising no boots on the ground, has over 6,000 troops right now in Iraq. This major advance into Mosul. This is where our money goes, and our country's rotting. Disgusting. And they're making it seem like, oh, this is wonderful. We're going to free those people of the terrorists in Iraq. A war that never should have begun, based on lies that are in front of everybody's eyes, but lack the courage to call out the criminals who started it and the criminals who keep it going. But I'm mentioning this also because of the hypocrisy surrounding it. The American media pumps up this as a very positive movement to help free the people of Mosul from the terrorists. However, when Russia and Syria were engaged in the Battle of Aleppo, they were brandished war criminals by Kerry, our disgusting Secretary of State, following the other disgusting Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who followed the other disgusting Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, who followed the other disgusting Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright. Oh, I forgot. Colin Powell. You know it goes down the colon, don't you? So here they are, brandishing Russia and Syria as war criminals and acts of barbarism against the people, the civilians that were trapped in Aleppo. A city of about 600,000 people, 650,000 people, compared to Mosul, a city of almost 1.5 million people. So where is the slaughter going to be greater? It's okay when the USSA and its allies slaughter innocents. But hey, not when them Russians and Syrians do it. No, then it's barbarism. The hypocrisy is disgusting. There's not a peep about peace. Nothing. Again, we launched Occupy Peace. We put our money where our mouth is last September 2015. Gary Null is here. Dr. Robert Thurman. Ralph Nader. Cindy Sheehan, a brave woman who camped out in front of George Bush's Texas ranch in protest of her son's death. Where's the support for peace? Not even empty words, let alone empty pockets. No money for peace, but plenty for war. And that's the way it is. It's disgusting. Nothing. 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 Nothing for peace. And all Obama's doing is building up more and more war. So when you look at what's going on in China, and they're buying up the world as America goes down, America keeps building up more war. And a very important element, too, that I noted in reading from antiwar.com about the U.S. troops in the front line in Iraq, the Mosul invasion. And how there's been this continuation also as Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, at just nonstop war. And this endless war. In this climate of war, it saps more than just money out of a nation. It saps the morality out of it. It creates the atmosphere for militarized nation, not only abroad, but at home. The wanton slaughter of innocent people, for whatever reason, by a military mindset. And on a much higher level, or I shouldn't say higher level, but different level, it robs us of creating joy and beauty. Because in a state of fear and war, you really don't create a lot of beauty. And again, go back, the proof is there. All you have to do is look back to the Great Depression. I have a number of magazines here from the 1930s, 1937, 35, 38. The style in this country, the elegance that people personified. It's gone. This is a depression. The hottest, happiest music that America's ever known, swing time. Came from the depression. Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. It's always tried and positive song. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. It was swing time. No war. The worst depression of the century. The people, hey, how about Art Deco? So war robs us more than only our human lives. It robs us of spiritual growth as well. And that's what this nation has degraded into. a military mindset. Wars based on lies, and no one really cares. More war. And all these disgusting liberals who defend Obama, as I say, conservatives believe liberals lie. You know, these hard right-wing conservatives believe in stuff like, you know, we got to get them over there before they come over here. We got to kill everybody everywhere, like Trump. I'm going to knock the hell out of ISIS. Yeah, okay, great. So they actually believe their stupidity. The liberals lie. They know Obama has lied to them, but they keep making up excuses to defend him and the other warhawks, the neocons, that comprise the Democratic Party. No greater proof can be shown than the war in Yemen, or I should say no more additional proof can be shown than the war in Yemen. Yep, last week, the United States ship fired missiles into Yemen because they said missiles were shot at them from the Houthis. You know what a Houthi is, don't you? Yeah, they're like a Yazidi. Of course you don't. Most people don't, I should say. Maybe you do because you listen to Progressive Radio Network. So here the United States is poorest nation in the Middle East. United States firing missiles into them. And now they're saying that they're not even, no missiles hit anything. They never even saw the missiles. And now they're blaming it on radar system that was putting out ghost images. But yet, how many people did they slaughter? How much destruction did they cause? Hey, that's just, calm down, Salenti. We are God's chosen people. We are the exceptionals. United States could slaughter and kill at will. Hey, Obama, over 4,000. Bop, deep, zoop. Innocent people droned away. Nothing. Nothing from the media about this. Barely mentioned. You have to go through the back pages if you can find it at all. That's your Obama. U.S. ministers press Syria, Russia to end bombing of Aleppo. Oh, yeah? But it's okay to bomb away at Mosul. You disgusting hypocrites. And that's what this country's come into and most of the West. Disgusting hypocrites. Here's what Obama said after the USS Mason last week sent missiles to destroy and kill innocent people that were never fired at the Mason. No proof at all, and now they're saying it was radar malfunction. President Obama told Congress Friday that the missile strikes he ordered El Presidente of los Estados Unidos against sites in Yemen were, quote, limited and proportionate in response to threats against U.S. Navy ships in the area. I directed these strikes in response to anti-ship cruise missile launches perpetrated by Houthi insurgents that threaten United States Navy warships in international waters of the Red Sea on October 9th and 12th. Obama wrote in a one-page notice, the United States stands ready to take actions in self-defense as necessary and appropriate to address further threats. The Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, and you liberals disgust me as a Bernie, a BS Bernie. You got lockjaw on this one? The arrogance. I directed these strikes in response to anti-ship cruise missile launches perpetrated. No, you directed these strikes based on phony information. Just like you direct your drone strikes to kill thousands of innocent people. Just like you 33,000 troop surge in Afghanistan to slaughter more people. Just like you lied that the Afghan war was going to end and you keep it going and lying that there are no boots on the ground either there or in Syria or in Iraq and no money for peace. No outrage about this. And I'm tired of hearing people defending Clinton. Murderers. And when you listen to this, U.S. missiles hit three radar facilities in rebel-controlled territory after the Navy said, one of its destroyers was targeted. Quote, I directed these strikes in response to anti-ship cruise missiles launched, perpetrated by Houthi insurgents. Hey, who the hell are you to say that they're insurgents? Why don't you mind your own business? You know, we've been writing about this in the Trends Journal for years. The Salah government, who the Houthis are, the Salah government was a government in Yemen at the same time that the United States was overthrowing Libya. And the prostitute meeting in the United States, about a handful of people were killed in Libya one day. Oh, it was front page story. And then we wrote on that same, very same day, there was mass slaughter going on in Yemen that didn't make any of the news. Salah was the president. He's supported by the Houthis as well now because they threw out Salah and they put in another dictator, Hadi. And the United States and the Saudis are supporting Hadi. So who is the United States to be involved in any of this? And as far as threatening United States Navy warships, why don't you get away from there? Why don't you protect the United States and stay out of there and mind your own business? And just to make this very clear, all you military guys, you haven't won a war since World War II. Stop walking around and bragging about who you are and wearing all your medals on your chest. I don't want to hear it anymore. You're losers and murderers. Nothing for peace, only for war. So there you have it. That's some of the trends this week. We're going into a recession. It's in front of our eyes. Restaurants are closing down across the country, going bankrupt, closing locations, profits down. People put their money where their mouth is. And they can't afford to eat out. War drums keep beating louder. The United States expanding its aggression throughout Africa, in the Middle East, South China Sea. Everywhere America has the right to be, according to the neocons in office. And the Nobel Peace Prize winner, Obama. And of course, tonight, the presidential reality show. Ah, yes. The freak show of freak shows. The greatest show on earth. Yeah, Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey says, stop calling it a circus. Circuses are better than this. They're right. So I apologize. And again, on the economic front, the data doesn't lie. 51% of the people earning under $30,000. 2.5 million manufacturing jobs were lost since 2007. Only about 800,000 have been reclaimed. Where are the job creations? In gig economies, healthcare, ambulatory services, paying lousy wages. So there you have it. It's a global slowdown. It came out with data yesterday from China. It's showing the economy is growing at 6.7%. Nobody believes it. How can they? Exports were down 10%. Imports were down 2%. So that's where we stand. Again, do your part, whatever it might be. As listeners to Progressive Radio Network, you know that you have to be in the best shape you can, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The future's in your hands. Don't drop it. I've written major books. Been writing the Trends Journal since 1991. Been writing for years. It took me on my last birthday to write this one line. I was not put on this earth to take orders from, I'll use the word jerks, but I used another word. And that's it. I'm not put on this earth to take orders from anyone. Are you? The future's in your hands. Don't drop it, and don't give it away. It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. One person of courage makes a majority, said Andrew Jackson. Tag, you're it. This is Gerald Celente. And that's Trends This Week. C'è la luna, mezzo mare, mamma mia, mare d'are. Figlio mio, putterare, mamma mia, pensaccia tu. Se te rogna, piscia ulo, idde va, idde viene sempre pa' calare dal mare d'ene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalata, picchia mia. Oh mamma, la 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 la. Oh mamma, la 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 la. Mamma dear, come over here and see who's looking in my window.